We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey guys, it's Glover. You are listening to Hancock and Kelly filling in for me and the guys because we are taking a week of vacation. So enjoy the boys. We will be back on Monday the 8th. See you then.
It's Hancock and Kelly in for the DGS, as you just heard. We'll be here for the rest of the week from 2 till 6 or 2 until Cardinal baseball, whichever comes first. Don't know if we're going to have Cardinal baseball tonight. There's some severe weather moving into the radio, into the area. And right now, joining us from AccuWeather is our good friend. Who is our good friend? Danielle Little. Niddle. Danielle Niddle. Hello, Danielle Niddle. So how serious is this front that's moving into the St. Louis region right now?
You know, we're looking at, I think, two different waves that are going to be bringing slightly different impacts here to the area. So the next couple of hours, we're looking at a line of storms starting to congeal together here now over the northern and western suburbs. It's going to be pushing eastward, and we're seeing off and on thunderstorm warnings coming up for winds gusting close to 60 miles an hour, quarter-size hail a possibility, as well as these torrential downpours. And right now, not seeing any of those warnings currently in effect. They've just expired, the ones that are close by anyway. But these storms out ahead of this line, too, and we're seeing some individual cells popping up very quickly. And when they do, they're intensifying quickly as well, given the atmosphere that we have. Now, fast forward here in time a little bit and get past the next couple of hours, we're expecting more of these storms to start developing, especially it looks like from the city, very close to the city and points to the south. We're going to lose the wind threat as we move into tonight, but we're going to be concerned about flooding as we move into the latter part of tonight. So kind of two parts of our equation here.
So the heaviest rains will be earlier, but the flooding is later. Is that right?
So we've got, I'd say, you know, the most severe storms earlier on. So that would be correct in terms of increasing, you know, the wind threat and the hail threat for the area. And then the flooding rains are going to be still with us as we move into tonight, as we're going to see more storms basically regenerating. And it looks like focusing more for our southern areas as we move into the latter part of the evening and overnight tonight.
Very helpful. Thank you very much. That was Danielle Niddle. She's from the AccuWeather, giving us a good immediate account of exactly what's in front of us tonight and might be kind of tough out there. Thanks, Danielle.
You're welcome.
Look who just walked into the studio. It's none other than Brian Kelly from the award-winning KMOX Newsroom. Mr. Kelly, how are you?
Well, I walked in because I'm lost. It's been so long since I've been here.
Yeah, where have you been, man?
Hello, let's tell people, first of all, if you're not listening to KMOX Weekends with Brian Kelly, you're really missing out. I truly believe the Sunday morning show that Brian does is one of the best shows that's produced on KMOX. And then, of course, it's followed by the world famous Sports on a Sunday. It's just a delightful Sunday program. And
the best music. He has the best bumper music of all time.
We found something you guys agree on.
Yeah. Right? And we join you every Sunday at what, 7:20?
Early. 7:20, yes.
7:20. Yeah. We get up early to come talk to Brian Kelly. But haven't been.
Some days go better than others in that 7:20 slot.
You haven't been there for the last, I think this is 3 weeks straight.
3 weeks.
Where you been?
I've been out. Well, first off, I went to Florida.
Nice.
My, well, it was for a funeral.
Oh.
Yes, my brother passed away.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
So we had very nice. He was in his mid-70s, and we had just had a really nice time with his family that we don't get to see much.
Right.
He's in Florida. Some of his family's in Texas. And so after the funeral, of course, being Irish, we had a really good party. Well, a couple days later, we spent a day or two down in St. Augustine afterwards, and we got a call that one of the people at the party had COVID.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So it turned into kind of a super spreader event.
Ooh.
So I got it. A couple of other my family members from St. Louis who were there got it. Family members from Florida and Texas got it. And I hadn't had it yet. Now, my wife had it last month, and I didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, I'm in pretty good shape. You know, this is weird. Some people get it. Some people don't.
Right, yeah.
Well, apparently the BA5 is what I'm assuming it was. It got me.
Well.
And so on a Thursday, I started feeling it. On Friday, I was sick. And then it was kind of a roller coaster ride. There were days where I felt pretty good. I was able to do a little unpacking and put some things up and then take a break, you know, and you got, and then like Friday, a week after I had contracted it, I felt terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought I was on the way back and I'd be back for the weekend.
Right.
And everything was going great. And then I woke up, I was like, I feel worse than I have all week.
Now, I, knock on wood, neither Hancock or I have had COVID yet. I think it's inevitable we're all going to get it sometime in our life, likely.
I think so.
Did you have trouble breathing? So many people tell me it's hard for them to breathe.
No, my symptoms at first were kind of a head cold. So I took some Mucinex and it helped. I had a fever for, I think, a few hours,
maybe.
Not very long, and it didn't really hurt me much. I kind of felt like it was the beginning of the flu. You know how you get that feeling?
Yeah,
it's that whole body just doesn't feel good.
Right.
And it just kind of varied from some days, not too bad. Other days, just sit around and watch
exhaustion?
The British Open.
Did you have exhaustion issues?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I did a little bit. If I did get up and move around some, a couple of the days, I would. I'd be really tired. And other days, I didn't have it much at all. It was a roller coaster.
How many days away from it have you been now?
Well, it's been, what is today's Wednesday? It's been a week and about 9 days.
Anything lingering?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, you've not felt anything different?
Because once I came out of it, No, and I was hungry the whole time.
Yeah, good for you.
I've had other relatives who had it this time. And
perhaps I have COVID right now.
Well, I mean, when Sue had it, my wife, she was not hungry at all.
Oh, okay.
And I've had other relatives who say they've lost their appetite. I was hungry the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the way to get sick right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes a good flu or maybe a battle with the COVID is helpful for the weight loss program.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know if you
want to
go
that route.
Doesn't
sound like that for Brian.
Yeah, but not if you're hungry the whole time.
No, I was hungry the whole time. And so then it's been about 9 days now that I've been feeling good. Then we left and went to Colorado for a week. So I just got back from Colorado.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's got Charlie Brennan hours around here, right?
Michael Kelly.
Oh, stop it.
Florida, Colorado.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's Michael Kelly. So you recently bought an electric car.
Yeah.
How you like it?
December. I love it.
Yeah?
Just love it, yes.
Now, you weren't able to drive that to Florida or anything?
No, we didn't. Although we did drive it to Florida in April.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and it was great. The way down there, we stopped every time it told us to, which took a little extra time, of course. The way back, we kind of figured it ourselves how far we'd get in each charge, and we cut it pretty close, got within, I think, 30 miles at one point.
Ooh.
But it was great. It worked out really well.
And so at home, you can just plug into a regular old outlet, correct?
You can, yeah. It just takes a long time to charge.
On the road, you would hit a supercharger?
Yeah.
So how long would you have to stop to get the car supercharged?
No more than a half hour. 20
really?
To 25 minutes, maybe 30. They're always right around hotels and restaurants.
And are they marked pretty well?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the car tells you where they are.
Oh, the car knows where they
are. Yeah. On the map, it'll actually tell you need to charge pretty soon. It'll prepare itself to be charged, and it will show you the location of the charger, how many chargers there are, and you can look up the restaurants, hotels, and other things around there. You know, you drive through, you pick up a meal.
This is like idiot proof.
That's awfully nice of the car to do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And now you have Tesla, right?
Yeah.
And the pickup on the speed on these things is just insane, isn't it?
It hit me today. I was driving my other car, and I got on the PSB, and, you know, I needed to kind of get ahead of the car next to me, and I hit the gas, and it just, it's like, come on. On the Tesla, you hit the accelerator. It doesn't have a gas pedal.
Right.
You hit the accelerator, and you go. And you're up, and you're past everybody, and you're on your own. Yeah, it's amazing.
The one time I drove a Tesla, I felt like I was driving my iPhone, if that makes sense.
You are.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like you're just messing around with your phone.
Is it talking to you? Does it talk?
I don't think it's talked to me. It farts.
Oh, it does.
And I can talk through it. Like if I'm stopped at a stop sign, like before a Blues game,
farting.
It has a thing. Yeah, you can make it fart, and you can hit the button, and I'll go, "Let's go Blues," and it comes out like, "Let's go Blues."
Really?
Like yeah. All kinds of things.
So all these little things you can do to entertain yourself when you're waiting for the car to charge up.
And when you're waiting, like at a grocery store, you can put the air. You can put the air on. So if you go into shop, when you come out, the car is cool. You can do that.
Wow.
There's a dog setting that's like that, except if somebody walks up to the car, the screen will say, "My owner is inside. The temperature in the car is 72. It's all good."
Okay. One final question for you. The whole charging process. Do you, like, is it your phone where they tell you you should take it all the way down to the end, or can you drive it for 10 miles, take it home, and plug it back in again?
You can take it like that.
Really?
Yeah. And you're supposed to, like, keep it about 80% charged, not 100% unless you're going on a trip.
Pretty much sounds like the story of my life.
Yeah. If you're going on a trip, you charge it full. And it says 350 miles. It's more like, but see, everything you do with the car drains that energy. So, like, when we drove to Florida, we had it packed. And so all that weight drains the energy. Oh. We drove through a lot of rain. The lights, the windshield wipers, the radio, everything, the auto self-driving, all of that drains energy. So you do have to keep an eye on what you're using and how long it's actually going to last you.
Well, I think it was Bob Dylan who said the times.
They're changing.
They are changing.
Mm-hmm. They are. I saw a lot of them in Colorado, by the way.
And I'll tell you who knows about the changing times when it comes to cars, automobiles.
Yeah.
Greg Damon.
Oh, yeah.
Our automotive expert. He joins us after this. It's the DGS on Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All the news and all that matters to you. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 4:22, sponsored by the Hi-Z Advisory Group. And we go now to the celebrity guest line, where we are joined by Greg Damon, KMOX's auto guy. Greg, how are you, sir?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic. Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. Love your show.
Yeah, we love to have you on, and we love hearing you when you're on KMOX. And Greg, you've been on a couple of times with us as I was debating on whether or not getting an electric car. And I've done it. I've gone ahead and ordered one, and it's going to be several months before I potentially get to see mine. I'm getting a Rivian. Okay. But I read an article the other day that we are hitting like almost 5% of all cars now sold in the United States or electric cars. Is that correct?
Well, it's correct for the first part of this year. Not total, but the electric cars are definitely on the rise. But you have to remember, less than 1% of the 250 million cars on the road today are electric cars.
What I'm most concerned about as I'm thinking of going down this electric journey is, do we even have the infrastructure that's going to be able to facilitate the amount of cars that are going to be coming online so that people can charge?
Boy, that is a great question. And no, we don't. You know, our electric grid right now throughout the United States is pretty tapped out. I mean, think of all the electric stuff that we use. You know, in Texas, they're now saying, hey, we try not to run your air conditioners during the peak time. So what is that going to do if you have to charge your car? So, yeah. You know, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, this could be a bit of a problem. So that's obviously one of the concerns that people have to have if they're going to get an electric car. Are there other pitfalls out there that we should be prepared and concerned about and maybe prepared for?
Sure, absolutely. So electric cars, obviously, they have limited driving range to begin with. And don't forget, you know, if you had, like today, when it's pouring down rain and your wipers are on and you have your defroster on, your headlights are on, that all drains battery power out. So that means equals less miles that you can drive. Also, the infrastructure that we have, if you have to go out to a charging station, you're on a trip somewhere and you have to find a charging station, not all charging stations fit all cars. So you have to find the correct charging station. You may have to sit there from anywhere from 45 minutes to 6 hours to charge your car. And, you know, they charge you for that. It's, you know, it's like a tank of gas that you're going to have to put into your car.
Well, this is going to have to be rectified because it's no longer the disruptors of Tesla and a couple of other ones. The big three are getting into this as well.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, look at what the government has put stipulations on for car manufacturers. You know, they want car manufacturers by 2050 to be hardly have any carbon footprint whatsoever. But, you know, my big hang up on that, you know, here in the Midwest, how do we make electricity?
Right. Yeah.
You know, we burn coal. Yeah. So tell me what the cost savings is, because now I have to spend for my house. I have to spend up to probably $9,000 or more to put in a fast charging system, three-phase fast charging system into my house. Now my electricity is going to go, my electricity is going to go up. So where is my cost savings? And not only that, what happens now? Look at the gas tax that has just risen, to help the infrastructure we have with the roads, the bridges, stuff like that. Now all of a sudden, if you have an electric car, you're not paying that gas tax. Where's that money coming from? Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to implement some sort of hourly tax or something else on
mileage tax,
a mileage tax or something on electric cars.
Which is very intrusive, you know, telling the government how many miles you're driving. I don't know. It kind of gives me the heebs.
I'll tell you what, this is a couple years ago. I did a thing because a lot of insurance companies were saying, hey, if you put this device
right
in your computer and you let us monitor it, we'll give you a discount on your insurance. Well, for me, it's like I don't want people to know where I go or, you know, where I stay or how fast I drive or, you know, anything else. I don't, you know, so it's like Big Brother watching you.
So we've got less than 30 seconds, Greg. The gas-powered automobile is going to be with us for a good long while, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the best thing we got going. And you know what? They're almost totally efficient, and there's hardly any pollution that comes out of new cars today.
The Camo X auto expert, Greg Damon, kind enough to join us. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your insight, Greg.
Thanks a lot. Have a good show.
When we come back, it's What's Trending with Braxton Payne, Michael Kelly, and John Hancock in for the DGS on Camo X.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It is Hancock and Kelly. We're with you all week for the DGS. They're getting a well-deserved week off here in the middle of the beginning of August, and then they'll be back to take us all the way to Labor Day. One of the things we've been doing every day is we've been doing What's Trending.
It's important to know what's trending.
With our good buddy Braxton Payne. He joins us again today. Mr. Payne, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
Perhaps one of the trendiest people we know.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he
I try to be.
Yeah, and by the way, let's discuss this real quick because you got two big dopey dudes here. One of the trends that exist in men's clothing are these shorter shorts, Braxton. Am I right?
Yes, it's not just a trend. It's how you should wear your shorts. No. I mean, I think that's just we don't need shorts that go below your knees
anymore.
Now
wait a minute now. I happen to own a pair of shorts that go below my knees, and they've got a little picture of Michael Jordan on them.
Yeah.
So clearly, that's styling. If I've got a little Michael Jordan,
Is that for all the times you play basketball?
Well, I don't like to talk, but back in the day, they used to call me Swish Hancock.
So, what is the proper inseam for a short if you wanted to be stylish these days?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely max 7. I prefer the 5-inch inseam, but I mean,
my boxer shorts are that size. Nobody wants to see an upper the thigh of an upper of a the upper thigh of a man.
That's 100% true.
It's just how we wear them. I mean, the ones that blow these your kids. Knees, I'm going to be texting Georgianne to make sure that she gets rid of those just for your own sake.
Oh, she loves them. They got a Michael Jordan picture on them, for the love of Pete. I mean, these are nice shorts. Very athletic.
So what's trending?
So I think, you know, the main thing that's been trending all day, we had a big election yesterday. I heard you guys talking about some of them here locally and in Kansas as well. But I have four elections that I think, you know, I think are important, and also that you guys have not touched on yet. So I can give you the four, and you guys can pick which one we talk about.
Giddy up.
So we have the Jefferson County elections. We have the Franklin County elections, both in Missouri. And then we have two elections in Michigan, Michigan's 3rd congressional and Michigan's 11th congressional district.
Oh, very good choices. All right, let's start in Jefferson County.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we saw, you know, with the new Senate district map, all of Jefferson County is encompassed in a Senate district, and we had a four-way primary with three sitting representatives on the Republican side and one former representative in Jeff Rorta, a former Democrat turned Republican. One of the things that I found that was really interesting in this race was the amount of outside money spent. In it to support both Rorta and Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Mary Elizabeth Coleman ended up being the winner. She only got 34% of the vote, but in a four-way race, that's really all you need.
Yeah, because they were all pretty bunched up, right?
Right. And then, you know, Rorta got 24%. Representative Shaw got 24% as well. One of the things that I think also is really interesting in this race is the amount of earned media that Mary Elizabeth Coleman got surrounding the her stances on abortion and her spearheading the abortion restrictions in Missouri. She was on television, local, and radio all the time talking about that. So I think that just shows you something that Donald Trump did really well in 2016. He had the power of earned media behind him and didn't have to spend so much as the Democrats did, or in this race, as much as the other candidates did, trying to unseat her, as she was the favorite pretty much the day she announced.
That's a very insightful comment, and you're spot on with that. Also in Jefferson County, the presiding commissioner, Dennis Gannon, reelected. He faced a challenge from State Senator Paul Wieland. That was an interesting race as well.
Yes, and I think one of the things we saw there is Dennis Gannon, he was on television. He had commercials on broadcast television, you know, 2, 4, 5, and 12, pretty much for the last 2 weeks. You know, he was running at the same amount as, you know, Eric Schmidt's commercials or Vicky Hartzler's commercials. And so you really saw that, you know, obviously I don't live in Jefferson County, but I was seeing those commercials often. And he was also running radio ads. And Senator Wieland had represented, you know, Jefferson County for the past 8 years. So, you know, it's pretty a resounding victory for County Executive Gannon.
I am sitting here with my iPhone. It's 3 inches tall. And I'm just thinking, if I added another 2 inches to my iPhone, that's what Braxton says the inseam of a short should be?
Yeah, I'm not following
now,
this.
A mutual friend of ours, Braxton, a girl said, well, when you have legs like Braxton, you can get away with wearing good-looking shorty shorts.
What kind of legs does Braxton have?
I don't know, but apparently this woman's commenting that you and I wouldn't have legs like that. But 5 inches.
He's got the same legs he has.
5 inches is short.
Yeah, but 5 inches doesn't start at the waistband. It starts, you know, in the inseam.
Yeah.
No. I don't get that. All right, let's keep it local here. I'm sorry. I have 5-inch shorts. Give me a break.
Yeah, no good.
I'm not even sure I want to see that on Charlize Theron.
Oh, I think Mike.
Yeah, you're right about that. Never mind. What was I thinking? Moment of clarity coming back to me. Okay, Brex, we got about a minute left. Tell us about Franklin County.
Yeah, so Franklin County, there's another state Senate race there. It's actually Franklin County, a little bit of west. St. Louis County, you guys touched on it earlier, a little bit of St. Charles County. Ben Brown actually was the victor in that one. And it was interesting because you had some of the establishment running. You know, you had you know, the unions backed Nate Tate. He got 26% of the vote. Ben Brown won with 39% of the vote. And then business owner Bob Jones, once again, I was mentioning before, was running a lot of television ads. He only got 27% of the vote. But I think it boils down to one more thing. Ben Brown was he was suing Sam Page during the mask mandates and got a lot of earned media and was in the news a lot during that. And so he was essentially a political outsider, had no experience, but he was able to garner some grassroots support and knock doors and ended up winning, you know, almost with 40% of the vote in a competitive primary.
Okay, real quick, tell me about the Peter Meyer race in Michigan, the congressional race.
Yeah, so that's the third congressional race in Michigan. Peter Meyer was pro-impeachment, but voted to impeach the president, one of, you know, only a handful of Republicans. Gibbs was his opponent, ended up winning with 51% of the vote, so it was a very close race. But the Democrats in that race, especially the last week, spent about $300,000 in advertising to support Gibbs, the Trump-backed candidate, to defeat Meyer, because the Democrats view that seat as a potential swing seat where they could elect a Democrat if they had a far right extremist, as they now do, as the nominee.
Well, that's a risky gambit, it would seem to me. But they've done that all over the country. Well, that is what's trending. We want to thank Braxton Payne for joining us.
He'll be back tomorrow wearing his 5-inch little shorts.
Yeah, keep that stuff to yourself.
Studio, just to prove a point.
Yeah, keep that stuff to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear my Michael Jordans, and I'm going to be darn proud of it. Hey, that's Michael Kelly over there. I'm John Hancock. We're in for the DGS. It's KMOX. We'll see you just around the corner.
Yeah,
thank you, Mike.
Talking heads, baby.
Uh-huh.
Hancock and Kelly, we're going to take you all the way up to Cardinal baseball. The baby Bears are in town, and the Cardinals killed them last night 6-0. Miles Michaelis will go to the bump tonight. But, hey, did you take your blood pressure medicine this morning?
Last night.
I'm going to get you pumped up here, buddy. It's going to get going.
All right.
A debate has been sparked after Spain's government moved to prevent office shops and other venues from setting air conditioners in the summertime below 27 degrees Celsius. Now, do you know what that is in Fahrenheit?
So Celsius, that's the you got the Fahrenheit,
okay,
and then
okay,
you got the Celsius,
mind.
And then you got the
I should
the
never
other
have
one.
Even have asked this.
Well, what's the other one? It's
just hang on. It's
starts with a K.
Kelvin.
Yes.
Yeah, so 27 degrees Celsius.
Well, hold on, you do the
hold on,
there.
I'm going to tell you, it's 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right.
So they're saying that you can't set your air conditioning in a public place, a building, a restaurant, below 80 degrees.
Oh, come on.
Well, this is all being done as a result of to try to restrict their dependence on Russian.
What communist country?
Spain.
Spain. Well,
now, listen to this.
Go.
Even worse. In the morning, or in the middle of winter, you will not be able to set your heat above 19 degrees Celsius.
Ooh, well, that's like
68 degrees. 66 degrees. Very well done.
Well,
there.
You know,
you pulled that one out of here.
Take the factor, and then you multiply it. And
now, I get what's going on here. This sounds like it's government buildings and places that the government has some control over, and it's all about trying to limit the consumption of Russian gas. But could you imagine not being able to set your air conditioner below 80 degrees?
It's ridiculous. I would never stand for it.
Who's
going to enforce it? Is the government going to come into your house and tell you that you got to turn your thermostat up? No.
I would imagine computers can wind up regulating the whole thing, don't you?
Now that is scary.
Well, I mean, they already do.
They do?
Yeah. Your thermostats, all these high-tech computers, thermostats are connected to the web, et cetera.
Yeah. No. But the government's not setting my thermostat. I'm setting my thermostat. Although, when you go to a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and I am convinced that little thing on the wall
mm-hmm.
that's got the temperature, you know.
It's lying.
It doesn't connect to anything.
Yeah.
So you get up there because it's night. I like it cold at night.
Right.
So I'm.
What is an optimal sleeping temperature for you?
Yeah, 67, 68.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I like it cold, too, and I set mine at 70, but 67, I don't think my air conditioner could ever get there.
But I'm telling you, at these hotels, and maybe I'm not staying at the finest hotels when I travel,
mm-hmm.
but I am convinced that that thing on the wall is not connected to anything in that room.
No.
And that's somehow that should be illegal.
Mm-hmm. What are you at the, all you can stay, $19.99 a night?
No, I stay at some fine establishments, but now, I'm not staying at the Ritz-Carlton. You know?
The 66, going above 66 with the heat in the winter wouldn't bother me. I'm a man, so most girls like it really hot and stuff. But here's the truth. I live in a building. I don't even turn on my heat in the wintertime. And sometimes it'll be 60 degrees in my house, 55. I don't care because I got clothes on, and when I get into bed, I'm under covers, and I like to sleep in the
cold.
Well,
that's a bit chilly, Michael.
No, it's not.
55 degrees in your house?
It doesn't bother
me.
In
the winter?
Doesn't bother me. It's not like you can see your breath.
Well
you're just wearing a little. 55 degrees is a perfect day if it was, you know, in the fall. You know, the temperature got up to 55 degrees. It's a perfect day.
But here's the thing. If you have to go out into weather that if it's 55 in your home, mm-hmm. then that means outside it's going to be 18 degrees or something.
Right. But the only problem with it being 55 degrees is when you take the shower in the morning. When you get out of the shower and you step out, and 55 degrees is pretty doggone chilly.
Now, you've got one of those fancy showers, right?
Yeah.
Where you can, like, set the temperature of the shower?
Oh, yeah. It blows on me. It's like a car wash is what I call it, John.
How does that work? So you tell it how hot you
Yeah, are? I just push a button. It's a Kohler, I think is what it is. They're selling them everywhere now. Just push a button, and it will wind up telling you can set it at this temperature, and this spigot's going to come on when you push this button, and that spigot will come on when you push that button.
Do you have a hot and a cold button, or is it just one?
Well, there's a little gauge. You can go on the up button, and it gets warmer, and the down button, it gets cooler.
It's a gauge, so you're not twisting a knob.
No, no twisting of knobs. It's just push button.
I got two knobs in my shower.
I'm in trouble, though, if the electricity goes out.
And it's quite an art if the, because I got the hot knob, and I got the cold knob.
Yeah, you got to tune that thing just perfectly going left and right. Hate that. I don't like tuning from both. Give me one thing and let me regulate just one spigot.
Well,
when I go to a hotel
thing.
And I got to do two, what am I going to rearrange satellites while I'm here too?
Well, because you've got consummate control with the two knobs,
mm-hmm.
and if you know what you're doing in there, you can nail it. And so I've got it down now. Because I turn the water on, let it run for a bit before I hop in there,
mm-hmm.
and I know exactly where. The thing goes.
Oh, and do you know how long it takes for the water to kind of get through the house and the pipes and be perfectly warm?
About
like, is it
40 seconds.
There you go.
Yeah.
40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine takes a second or two, too. Now, I live in a building, and I have an awesome situation because we never run out of hot water. We're on a big bad boiler.
Mm.
So when I was a kid growing up, when my sisters would all take a shower, I was left out in the cold water. It was miserable.
Yes, I lived through that as a kid as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's Michael Kelly, and I'm John Hancock. 1 hour, not even 1 hour left, because we have Cardinal baseball tonight. The pregame show starts at 5:50 right here on The Voice of St. Louis. We'll see you after the news right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.